I'm going to put a few characters up here. Most of them are characters out of popular movies, so you may not know them all. We've got Jean Valjean. That's a dude out of Les Miserables there a minute ago. He was a hated and despised criminal. So I want to think about who you relate to most in these. None of us are actually them, obviously, but who you relate to much. He was hated and he was despised. He stole some bread. He knows he wasn't perfect, and then he stole that other stuff later. But he was afflicted and imprisoned for 20 years, way beyond his crimes. So he wasn't perfect, but what happened to him was on overload. Then there's Cinderella, like Cinderella without the happy ending. You know, maybe sometimes you feel like you're deliberately mistreated. You've been held back because of injustice, and that's something that any of us, you know, could have happened to us in our past. And then there's Captain America in the middle, one of the good guys, and he's almost so good that he doesn't need saving because he's the savior himself. He's the one that looks after people and rescues everyone. And then there's Vin Diesel. He's fearless and intensely loyal, but ultimately he's a lure unto himself and he answers to no one. Which of those characters do you think you might relate to? And the reason why I'm going about this sort of the long way around this morning is because we've got Sermon on Grace this week, a Sermon on Grace next week, and to a certain extent, how we understand grace is influenced by all of our starting points. You know, our past and our history, our upbringing, the good things that were done to us, the bad things that were done to us, how we come to grace, you know, will affect that. And maybe these characters can help us do this. Where we come from, our experiences, it shapes our starting point and our starting point for grace. Now, in reality, none of us are probably any of these characters, but we all might have just a little bit of them in ourselves. Like we may have such confidence in life that it's hard to accept the idea that you need help. Things might come pretty easily to you. So why would I need help? Because life is pretty easy. Or maybe you feel like Cinderella, that other people have controlled your life and other people have afflicted you in ways that isn't good, that's wrong. That's obviously without the happy ending. You might have endured so much that it's actually easy to accept that you're downtrodden and lowly, but hard to accept that the God of the universe actually has a plan for you that is beyond the here and the now. So I'm going to say three things about grace today. Firstly, grace is a gift. Secondly, grace is amazing because our God is amazing. And finally, grace is for a purpose. So let's start with the first one, grace. Grace is a gift. But before we get to this gift of grace, we have to look at the starting point. What is the starting point in this passage from Ephesians? Starts with D and ends in D. You're dead. Death. But as for you, you were dead in your transgressions. This is a universal truth in the Bible. For some, it's hard to accept. The Captain America in us all would think that's a little bit hard to accept. But in reality, death is the starting point. All of us in verse, whatever it is, my eyes, Darcy can't read that little number. All of us were also lived among them at some time. This death, this universal starting point that we all have rejected God is the starting point for us all, whether you find that easy to accept or hard to accept. Grace is a gift. Now, in my family, the number one board game in our family growing up, my family growing up and in my kids' family growing up, is Monopoly. How many other Monopoly lovers do we have out there? A few? Any Monopoly haters out there? Few Monopoly haters as well. Okay, this is not a judgmental sermon, so I promise not to judge you for your Monopoly hatred. We had a special form of Monopoly in our household growing up. It was called Flying Monopoly, okay? In Flying Monopoly, what would happen is one of the children, whose name will go unmentioned, won't it, Noog? Okay, when she was about 5 or 6, she was doing well to play Monopoly then, but she didn't like to lose. So what would happen to the Monopoly board once, you know, she lost on a deal? The Monopoly board would fly. flying monopoly. But anyway, the thing I love, like I love deals and business kind of stuff, and the thing that I love about Monopoly is it can teach kids, there's other ways of teaching them things too, but it actually can teach them about doing deals. It can teach them about buying and selling, and, you know, some people might think that's wrong, but anyway, that's, I think it's really exciting to, you know, to learn all of those kind of things. But the thing with doing deals is all about your position of power. Like if someone's selling a house and they have to sell it, they have to sell it, they don't have a lot of power. Whereas if someone's selling a house and they don't have to sell it, they're in a more powerful position when it comes to negotiating. So business deals is about your position of power or it's about bluffing. Now, some people get over the line and bluff on a deal, but ultimately it's about your position of power. But I tell you who you can never bluff. You can never bluff God. God knows that we are dead in our transgressions. God knows that our sin is so bad that it separates from his good and perfect love. That is the starting point. All of you are dead in your transgressions. All of us. We followed the ways of the world, the things that we shouldn't have done. We rejected God as our boss. That is the starting point. Death is the starting point. When we look at grace, it's hard to grasp how good and great grace is if we don't grasp that starting point, the starting point of death. Now, grace, my first point, grace is a gift. Some of you may know the last couple of weeks what's been happening in Saudi Arabia. All honourable Muslims, according to their faith, are expected to go to Mecca at least once in their lifetime. Millions of people go there every year. Millions and millions and millions of people. But if you are of the Islamic faith, there are five things that you have to do to have a chance of getting God's grace. To get a chance of getting God's grace. You can't be sure, but you can try really hard. And one of those things is to go to Mecca. And you think about this, I've got in the middle, grace versus works. They're Bible words. There's only two options. You get there through grace or you're good enough to get there yourself. But the starting point is that no one's good enough to get there themselves. So it leaves grace as the only option for us all. Grace is a gift. It is a gift from God. Now, what about my mate Captain America? He's so good, I reckon it'd be pretty hard for him to accept that he would need this gift. If that was your starting point. But Cinderella, it'll be pretty easy for her to accept a gift. She would take a gift. She knows she's lowly and downtrodden and mistreated. So she would want to accept that gift. Grace is a gift. Have a look, we'll jump forward to verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, not the grace or the faith. It's not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. In other words, you can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You can't jump high enough. You can't run fast enough. You can't have enough to be good enough. Not of works, so that no one can boast. So Vin Diesel might have the biggest muscles, but he can't boast. He can't boast before God because he brings nothing to God. And anyone who's accepted the gift of God, it is a gift that's to be accepted. It is never anything we bring to the table at all through faith. And this is not as yourselves, it is a gift, not of works, so that no one can boast. So there's no room to be proud in the Christian faith and have this creeping in. And I think, you know, our danger point is probably not the Vin Diesel and probably not the Captain America, but it's that, you know, this good, honourable citizen. Like as Christians, we want to be good, honourable citizens. And that is true, and we should be, because it's an expression of our response to God. But then it's so easy to just kind of have a little bit creep into our lives and actually think, well, I'm actually better than others. But there is no room for boasting, because it is all a gift of God. No one can boast. The second thing about grace is that grace is amazing. A mate of mine had a daughter called Grace, and he told someone, and what did he say? He said, amazing. Amazing grace. Grace is amazing. Now, obviously, it's a very popular song. The dude down the bottom that like had curly hair problems. That's John Newton. John Newton, he wrote the song Amazing Grace. And when you learn the story of John Newton, which I'm sure most of you would know, it makes it even more amazing of where he came from. John Newton was a slave trader. He sold people like we would buy and sell cattle. But then his knee bowed to Jesus and he changed his life. And part of him changing his life was that he wrote a song about how amazing grace is, how amazing it is. Grace is amazing. Now, can anyone remember my last sermon I did? What did I have in the sermon? This is really going to like help my self-esteem or very much hinder it. Can anyone remember what was the central point of the sermon? I had a picture of something. I'm going to have to ask my wife to... Nat, a bull fence jumping. Yeah, there was a picture of a bull fence jumping. And there was another one. There was another picture. But thank you. Thank you for listening. There was another picture. You eat it. Steak sandwich. Thank you. A steak sandwich. Remember, some passages of the Bible are written like a steak sandwich. You've got the two bits of bread and a big fat bit of meat in the middle. Now, this passage, it's not your traditional steak sandwich passage, but there is a big fat bit of meat in the middle. And it's really clear from the structure of it. And you know what it is? It's right in the middle. And it says this, more literally, in which I think the version we had earlier did it more literally, but it says, But God, because of his great mercy, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. So we were dead, but God made us alive. That's a big fat piece of meat in this sandwich. Even though this is about grace and how we should respond and we shouldn't boast, it's actually about God's greatness. It's actually about God's greatness in taking us from being dead to being alive. That's a big fat bit of meat in this sandwich. And I'm really hungry after talking about steak. But anyway, this is what the passage says. You know, grace is amazing. Why is grace amazing? Grace is amazing because God is amazing. That is why grace is amazing. The dude, Jean Valjean, he got something he didn't deserve. That priest got him out of trouble and then was more generous to him, gave him even more. And he did not deserve it. Why? Because God is amazing. Have a look in verse 4. It says, because of God's great love. It talks about him being, verse 4 again, rich in mercy. And then in verse 6, it talks about the incomparable, his incomparable riches, which is talking about heavenly riches. Grace is amazing because God is amazing. Final thing I want to say about grace today is this. Grace is for a purpose. There is a purpose to grace. Now, what did the kids say when they got their incredible, amazing shells? Thank you. It's really, really simple. The Christian life sometimes is really simple. What should be our response to God's goodness and God's love to us? It should be, thank you. See, grace has a purpose. And that purpose is for us to say thank you. Now, we've got John Newton down the bottom. The dude next to him is a dude by the name of William Wilberforce. So John Newton gets converted, stops being a slave trader, writes Amazing Grace, and then a young politician comes to him, a young politician by the name of William Wilberforce comes to him, and he mentors him. And Wilberforce says to Newton, you know, what have we got to do? What can we change? And he said, change slavery. And of all the empires in the world, the British Empire was actually one of the first to outlaw slavery in the 1830s. And that was because the abolition movement was led by William Wilberforce, who was mentored by John Newton, who was a former slave trader who came in contact with the grace of God. But grace changed him. The gift of God changed him because grace is for a purpose. Have a look in verse 10. Now, we made it clear a minute ago that grace, it's not works, it's not what we do, but we're actually saved to do good things. Have a look at this. It is a gift of God, this grace. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we were God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're not saved by any good works we can do, but we were saved to do good works because this grace is for a purpose. Now, Jean Valjean, I know it's just a story, but it's a story that illustrates the point so well. After that priest changed his life by the grace of Jesus that he showed him, the rest of his life was about living a life to say thank you. to say thank you to the grace that had been given to him. Grace is to a purpose. Now, none of us will outlaw slavery. None of us will do some of those sorts of things, but that is irrelevant to the point. It's not about how big we serve the Lord. It's the fact that we serve the Lord. It's not how big the good works that we do for God is. It's about the fact that we do them. Not because it saves us, not because it earns us any status before God, but just as a way of saying thank you to God. Many years ago, I was on a rugby tour. We went away at this sevens tournament, and kids are here. I'm going to change the story a little bit. And then talking to this bloke, and he says he's a Christian. I thought, oh, that's great. You know, there's this other Christian fellow in the team. So we were out at this dinner strip where we all had dinner together. And anyway, we're just sitting there having dinner, and then another young dude comes along and asks this other bloke how to fence jump, right? How to be a intermittent fence jumper, shall we say. And anyway, so this bloke tells him, you know, what he should do to become a fence jumper. And then, and I'm sitting there like my jaw didn't drop, but I'm thinking, I don't understand. This bloke's 5 minutes ago telling me about his faith, and now he's telling this dude how to fence jump. And I, after the bloke left, I just said to him, I said, you know, as a Christian brother, how do you reconcile what you said to that fella? Like, how do you reconcile that? And you know what he said to me? And he said, it's okay. I'll go to church on Sunday to get forgiven. There is a verse, and I want you to hear this verse. And it comes from the book of Jude, a cool little book just before Revelation. And it's talking about some godless men. And it says this: they are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. We don't want to change grace. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is a license to serve. Because when we change grace into a license to serve, oh, God will forgive me, doesn't matter what I do. One, it shows that we're not actually forgiven because we're not taking him seriously. But secondly, it denies Jesus as our Lord. And if Jesus is our Lord, we won't use grace as a get out of jail free card. We'll use grace as a way that we can respond. I meant to bring the little presents up from the kids. Grace is a present. Christmas time, your birthday, whenever you get a present. But what do you do with the present? Do you leave it under the tree and not open it for the whole year? Do you open it and gobble it up really quickly because it's Darrelly chocolate? What do? Do you accept the gift? Grace is a gift. But a gift has to be accepted. A gift can't just be left under the tree. A gift has to be accepted. This gift is amazing. This gift gives us purpose in life beyond just the mundane of what we do. But it is a gift that needs to be accepted. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love towards us and for the grace that you have shown us in Jesus. We thank you that you take us from being dead to being alive. And I pray for each and every one of us here that we'll accept your gift of grace and we will respond to it by offering you our lives and living in a way that is acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.